We want to continue our study, which we began, of the Rogatchava, of Yosef Razen, and some of his chidushim, and a derech halimud that we can learn from him. And we're studying the chapter called Chomer and Tzura. Chomer and Tzura are words that come from the world of philosophy, and specifically from the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. The Rogatchava was very fond of the Mor Nevuchim, and he didn't hesitate. He was not inhibited to take concepts and terminology from the philosophical jargon and the lexicon and use them and apply them to explain serious and deep halachic issues. And in this case, we find that many Rishonim discuss this distinction, this fundamental distinction between Chomer and Tzura. The Chomer is the physicality, the materiality. It's obviously finite. It's touchable. It's concrete and physical. The Tzura, on the other hand, is abstract. It's something that belongs to the world of spirit, if you will, of conceptual and theoretical knowledge and definition. The Rogatchava uses often the terms Chomer and Tzura, Chomer on the one hand, Tzura on the other, but he also uses for the word Chomer other words like Mitzius or Etzem. Etzem is the physicality, the essence of the object in itself, that which is tangible. And instead of Tzura, he uses more often Toar. And it's interesting that the Rogatchava saw the issue of Ikar and Tofel, so to speak, what is primary and what is secondary with regard to Chomer and Tzura, as an issue that divided Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. In fact, he starts his discussion with a Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says that there's Machlokus Shin Beis Hillel Beit Shammai about the creation of the universe, the creation of physicality. And the issue here between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is what came first. And sometimes what comes first is not just a chronological issue, but it's also an issue of primary and secondary. And that's how the Rogatchava sees it. So when Beit Shammai claim that Shamayim Nivru Tchila V'Achakach Nivreis Haaretz, that creation began with Shamayim, from the Rogatchava's perspective, it means that Shamayim is Ikar and Aretz is Tofel, even with regard to creation. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, insists that Aretz Nivreis Tchila, that the ground, the physicality, the material universe was created first. And first means not only chronologically, but it means in terms of significance. So that according to Beis Shammai, the emphasis on Shamayim is really the emphasis on Tzura, on something that's abstract. The Ramban, in his introduction to Chumash, to Sefer Bereishis, he speaks about Chomer Hiyuli, which is more of a Tzura. It's not something physical. That's where the universe begins. According to Beis Hillel, on the other hand, the emphasis here is on the Chomer, on the Aretz. And so that, whereas Beit Shammai would see the Chomer Hiyuli as a Tzura, and that becomes the basis and the beginning of creation, that's what's primarily Chomer, comes secondly, Beis Hillel see the Chomer as primary. And these words and concepts called Chomer and Tzura, or Etzem and Toar, the Rogatchava introduces to the world of Halacha. And for example, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Daled speaks about Beis Shammai as being Mechadad Etfei, whereas Beis Hillel were Ruba, meaning that in terms of numbers, of sheer numbers, of counting, Beis Hillel was greater than Beis Shammai. The majority of the Chachamim belonged to the camp of Beis Hillel. But that doesn't upset, that doesn't shter Beit Shammai, even if they're in the minority, but they have the Mechadad Etfei. The Mechadad Etfei is more of the abstract and profound conceptual grasp and understanding. That belongs to the world of Tzura. So that in the world of Chomer, as you count bodies, you find that Beis Hillel is superior. And that's what we would call kamus. Kamus is from the Lashon Kama, is he counting numbers, but Beis Shammai has the superiority not in numbers, not in kamus, but mechadei tvei in the world of tzura, in the world of echus. It's kind of like al derech hamashal, the Ramban in his Torah Sodom, when he speaks about a chol on Yom HaKippurim, he says that we don't care how many rofim, how many physicians will tell him that he can eat, he can fast on Yom Kippur. We just need that one mumcha who is the absolute rofe, expert rofe, and he's going to tell him that no, he can't fast. He's got to eat on Yom HaKippurim. And he outweighs all the rabbim, all the majority of the rofim who aren't mumchim. So again, the emphasis here is on the echus and not on the kamus. We find, for example, in Bab Metzia Daf Mem Gimel Mit Beis, that there's machlokas beisil beit Shammai about a shomer, and we'll explain the machlokas in just 1 minute, but the issue, according to the Rogachover, is Olam HaMaisa versus Olam HaMachshava, which is the determining factor, which is absolutely critical. Is it the physical act in the physical world, that's the world of Aretz, that's Maisa, or is it Machshava, the thought that belongs to the world of Shamayim, of Tzura? What's the case that Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai argue about? We're talking about a shomer who's decided in his mind that he wants to be sholech yad v'pikadon. He wants to take this pikadon and use it for his purposes. He hasn't yet made a maisa meshicha, a maisa kinyan. He hasn't lifted the object for the purpose of shlichus yad. And the question is he chayev? A sholech yad pikadon is chayev like a gazlan. Normally we assume that the reshus of the nifkad, of the shomer, al pidin, is the reshus of the mafkid, of the bailim. And therefore there's no gzela here until you take it out of the reshus of the bailim. According to Beis Hillel, the only way that that feat and that objective could be accomplished is if a meshicha was made, or a hagbah was made on the object by the shomer for the purpose of shlichus yad. At that point, he lifts it up and creates a new reshus. It takes it out of the reshus of the mafkid and brings it into the exclusive reshus of the nifkad. But according to Beis Hillel, the thought and the planning to do that, which belongs to the Olam HaMachshava, that's not sufficient. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, said Chishev Lishloch Yad V'Pikadon is Nischayev. The very moment that the Shomer decides that he wants to be Sholech Yad V'Pikadon, that decision is only in his mind, then at that point, Kol Sashmira, so he's no longer considered a Shomer, he's a Gazlan. The object has left the Rishus of the Mafkid and entered into the exclusive Rishus of the Nifkad, Al Yidei Machshavto, Kol Sashmiroso, becomes the Rishus of the Nifkad exclusively. What kind of Mashiach is that? The answer is that only is a Mashiach in the world of Tzura, because according to Beit Shammai, the Halach is determined by that which is primary, and that's Tzura, that which is abstract, that which belongs to the Machshavah, that which really is in Shamayim, it's in the Luft, it's the Shamayim that was created first. And the Rogachava sees this machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in another sug, in a totally different halachic context, in Masechta Gittin Daf Pei Aleph, with regard to something called Reach HaGet. What's Reach HaGet? A man sends a get to his wife, but he adds a tanai. That means the get is valid if and only if the following condition was fulfilled. At the end of the day, the condition was not fulfilled. The get, therefore, is invalid. Says Beis Hillel, she can marry a kohen. Meaning, if her husband dies, she becomes an almono. She's not a grusha. The get, although it was given to her, and she held on to the get, but the tanai was not niskayim, and therefore the get is batel mevushel. If there's no gerushin, then there's no isa grusha a kohen. Comes along Beit Shammai, and they institute something called Reach HaGet. It has a shmek of a get, and it apostles her to kahuna. The Rogachov has an entire discussion whether it's Minat Torah or the Psukim are only Begeter HaSmachta, and it's really Drabbanon. But be that as it may, the psul of reach haget can only belong to the intent, the world of intention, of mental or machshavadik intention. That's called surah. That's not chomer. You know, Beis Hillel wants to know concrete practicality. Did she get a get? Was she megureshes? Was she not? Beit Shammai enters into the world of reach, reach haget. What's reach? The Gemara says in Brachos Mem Gimel that reach is the one sense, the one sensual pleasure that Tanashama nenes boho. It belongs to the world of Mashama. Reach is something called Ein bo mamish. It's not tangible. It belongs to a much more abstract world of Tzura. And there's an issue in the Gemara and Shabbos, we'll mention it on the side, not for us today, about whether or not you could have something called Pachas Mikashir with regard to Reach. In any event, Reach now becomes a code word for that which is abstract, that which belongs to the Olam HaNeshama. And in the Olam of the abstract worlds, there was a get that was given to the Isha, and that becomes Reach HaGet. That's the Sugin Gittin Pei Aleph. The Rogachava sends us to a Gemara, I should say to a Mishnah, at the end of Shas, in Uktzin, in Taris, Perikim Mishnah Vav, there too, the Mishnah records Machlokes Beisil Beit Shammai about something called Katzach and whether or not it's Chayv and Maisris. And normally, when you have something that's Omid Lachila, it's Chayv and Maisris. But if it's not Omid Lachila, and Beit Shammai insists that Katzach is part of the Maisris because the Ikar of Katzach is for Reach. You know, the Reach, and the Reach itself is called Recho Kosha. In the Gemara Brachas Daf Mem. So the Rogachava sees that as Beit Shammai Lishitoso, being very consistent. The emphasis here is on the Reach, which is called a Tzura. And if this Reach, in the case of Katzach, is not enough to engender a normal kind of a Nitan, therefore it's Potamina Maisros. The Rogachavi quotes a shita of Beit Shammai in the Yerushalmi, in this case in the second parak of Sota, regarding the Shem Hashem. A person writes the Shem Hashem, let's say for example in a Sefer Torah, and the Shem itself, if it's written as a full word, has Kedusha to it. What happens if he wrote only one letter from the Shem? Does it have Kedusha? Does it not? Beis Hillel denies that it has Kedusha. Beis Hillel needs the Metzius, the reality of the shame. There's no shame over here. You have a letter, but you don't have a shame. And Beit Shammai, on the other hand, to say that Os Achas Yeshbo Kedusha. And this reminds us of a similar issue in the Gemara towards the end of Masechta Shabbos Kuf Tes Vav, with regard to Hatzolas Sfarim in Adleikov. If a fire breaks out on Shabbos, are you allowed to remove Sfarim, like a Sefer Torah, for example, from the burning house to protect it, even if it means bringing it out into a Carmelis and violating an Issa Shavus B'Shabbos? And the question is, what happens if you can't save the entire Sefer, but you can save Osios? And Beit Shammai would allow you to be Matzim and Adleik, even Osios. The Os itself, in a certain abstract sense, represents the Kedusha of the Sefer Torah, or in the case of Shem Hashem, the Kedusha of the Shem. And we find also in the Yerushalmi in Sota, in the third parak, Kama Yimchok, Mea Megillah, right? They made a Megillah to be Mashke, the Sota. And once there's a Mechika of the Sefer, then automatically at that point, she has to drink from the concoction. That's called Kofenosa Lishtos, will compel her to drink. But how much of the Megillah was actually erased? And the Gemara quotes a Shita Beit Shammai, that even if one letter of this Megillah was destroyed, that's enough. Beis Hillel say you need a minimum of two letters. And the reason for Beis Hillel is because two letters represents the name of Hashem. Yud-Kei is two letters. But again, going to Beit Shammah, the emphasis is on the letter itself. The letter itself has Kedusha, even though it's incomplete. And it's quite possible that according to Beit Shammai, this concept of incomplete might have impact and repercussions in many areas called Chatzi Shir. It's very fascinating that Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Zichrono Livracha, who is very interested in Derech HaLimud, and in one of his works called Lior HaLacha, on page Kufayin Dalet, he actually analyzes Beisil Beit Shammai. Not exactly the way we saw it in the Rugachava. And again, we haven't covered even half of the Rugachava's rayas, that the Machlokas Beisil Beit Shammai is Chomer versus Tzura. But in any event, in Rav Zevin's book, he distinguishes between Beisil Beit Shammai along slightly different lines. And that's called Bekoach Ubefoal. And you can guess, based on everything we've done in the Rugachava, that Beis Hillel would be placing the emphasis on Befal, on the actuality, on something that's tangible, on something that belongs to Chomer. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, according to Rav Zevin, consistently puts the emphasis on Bekoach. And we could talk about the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in Ner Chanukah and many other issues. Now, perhaps we could say the following, that Beit Shammai, insofar as they put the emphasis on Tzura, or shall we call it Echus, on some sort of quality or some abstract form or ideal name, therefore the Bekoach, which represents the ideal, you know, this potential to reach so-and-so, that's what's critical according to Beit Shammai. Now, I have here in front of me the Sefer Mefaneach Tzfunos from Rav Nachum Kasher, and if you look on page 56, actually 56, 55 on the bottom, going on to 56, he has a very interesting theory. It's a little bit more, perhaps, drushy. But in any event, we find in Masechta Shabbos that there is an emphasis, according to Beis Hillel, with regard to any gzeros chachamim, on what's called gzeros hatzibur yichola lamod ba. And there are many gzeros and takonos which Beit Shammai instituted lechumra and Beis Hillel were mekil. And Rav Menachem Kasher quotes a sefer chassidim who says that, why did Hillel reject what's called the Yudchas Dvarim Shegozu Beit Shammai, those 18 gzeros? After all, they're all siyagim la-Torah, and the halach is asu siyag la-Torah. Hillel doesn't deny the very basic principle that chachomim are called upon to create a siyag. So he writes that Omar Hillel, what was Hillel upset about? Why was he so reserved and inhibited about accepting these gzeros? Im nigzar lo yuchu lamod ba'arov, that most of the Jewish people would not be able to withstand and live up to the standards of these gzeros. And he mentions the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Ayin Tes, saying goes in gzera al atzibur, elim kein rov atzibur yichom lamod ba. A gzera has to be something that the people could observe. This is the system of checks and balances that we have in Halacha with regard to gzeros. Then, in Ovis Rav Nosson, again, we'll get back to this Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai about the 18 gzeros. It says in Ovis Rav Nosson that the principle of Shammai was Asei Toroscha Kva. In other words, everything in your life, other than Talmud Torah, should be secondary. Both in terms of what you see as most important and in terms of the time that you dedicated to it, Torah is primary. Then, Beit Shammai goes on to say even more than that. Not only Asei Torah Chakva, but they have another, shall we say, idiom or a dictum of life. You know, how do you live your life? Lote mekel yatzmecha machmel acherim mekel acherim machmel yatzmecha kshem shato mekel yatzmecha kachte mekel acherim kshem shato machmel yatzmecha kachte machmel acherim. The principle of Beit Shammai is consistency, is absolute. You be dedicated to your ideal, to your goal, to your belief. Whatever you think is lakula, lakula, lakhumra, lakhumra, and you apply that standard without any exception in an absolute way. You want to be machmer for yourself, and you want to be machmer for others. If that's how you paskin, you want to be mekel, then be mekel for yourself and for others. There's got to be consistency. There's got to be universality. So perhaps we could put this all together. We said before that Beit Shammai were the miut. They were small in number, but they were mechudadei tefei. You know, the emphasis here is on surah, on something that's abstract. You know, you can't see the chidud and the profound nature of the thinking of Beit Shammai, but you can see that they're in the miut. So they're in kamus, they're low down, but in echus, they're excellent. That's Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai's philosophy was, we're not interested in kamus. We're not running for president. We don't need votes here. We don't need to gain the popular support. We're interested in echus, in quality, in profundity, in chidush, in chidud. That's primary. We're satisfied with a small group because a small group can have a tremendous impact on the entire world. And why? Because they're mechudadei tefei. So that Beit Shammai set high standards. Their eyes are set for the skies, for the shamayim, for the echus, and asei toroscha kva. We realize that that's very harsh. Beit Shammai is not denying that. We insist on a platform, on setting shifot, on setting goals that are very high, that are very idealistic. Asei toroscha kva. And if it means that in order to live a fully observant life as a Jew, we need to institute no less than yudches gzeros, that's what we're going to do. Forget about popularizing that. Forget about whether or not Rov HaTzibur this and Rov HaTzibur that. Beit Shammai are not interested, not impressed by Rov. Beit Shammai are interested by the ideal. The ideal is very demanding. The ideal is absolute. We have to aspire to reach that ideal. That's always going to be in front of our eyes. That's our goal. And we're going to be consistent about it. We're not going to make exceptions. There's no flexibility here. It's got to be all or nothing. And that's Beit Shammai as far as Kalanova Chasuda. Beit Shammai is not going to be flexible on Midvar Sheker Tirchok. They're going to be very demanding in terms of the laws of Sukkah. That's a sugi in the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud. And they're going to demand of their Talmidim, Asei Toroscha Kva, in a way that's Mukhlat. Don't be machmir on yourselves and be mekel on acherim. You came to the conclusion that you have to be machmir. Be machmir universally for everyone in a very absolute way. And it makes sense, therefore, that according to Beis Hillel, where the emphasis is more on the kamus, on the reality, on the tangibility, you know, gather together as many talmidim as you can. That's what's real. In other words, when we talk about, in Rav Zevin's terminology, bekoach or befoal, Beit Shammai is not looking at the befoal. Beit Shammai is emphasizing the bekoach. Set higher standards for something absolute, for something demanding. Emphasize the bekoach. What is the bekoach? What is the potential out there? We have to live our lives and guide the halacha by seeing the ideal and recognizing our potential. Beis Hillel is going to put it all the emphasis on Yitzia before. Okay, that's a little bit al-piderech ha-drush, but it's something that I think could be very profound and should be kept in mind. Getting back to the Rogatchover, he has a sugya at the end of Masech the Shabbos Kuf Lamed Vav with regard to a premature baby, with regard to a nafel. The Gemara offers a miut there about a nafel being potter from Mila. And the Gemara says, the language of the Gemara, Dekuya Alma Meshu. And the Rogatchev asks the obvious question, what does it mean, Meshu? B'mitzius, he's alive. Why do you call him a mace? comes along the Rogachev and he says you have to introduce the concept of tsura. When the Gemara says that he's a mess, it means from a tsura perspective. You know, in reality, in front of us, he's alive. But the shame, you know, the abstract legal category here is equal to that of a mess. You know, he doesn't have the shame of an ish. He doesn't have a shame of a zachar. He's not chayv in mitzvahs. He's not chayv in milah. All this is based on the shame. And the Rogachev applies this to the issue of kinyonim with regard to Sefer Torah. Who owns the Sefer Torah? After all, the Sefer Torah is designated for kriya, for anyone in the synagogue, perhaps anyone in the city. And is there a kinyon? And he says the following, well, when you talk about kinyonim, are you talking about the etzem, meaning the chomer, the guf ha-sefer, the klaf, etc., or are you talking about the tar, the tzura, the abstract mitzvah element or sanctity element or definition of the Sefer Torah? And he says the following, that what is Sefer Torah? Is it just a physical object? No. The ikar of a Sefer Torah, says the Rogachev, is likrospo, is the toelis of kriya. And if you subtract, if you strip the Sefer Torah of its kriya, then gufa sefer neshava klum. The emphasis here is not on the physical dimension of the Sefer Torah, but rather the kriya, the mitzvah, the kedusha of the Sefer Torah. The kriya is the davar shel hegdesh. And really the Sefer Torah, insofar as it's designated for kriya, which is the davar shel hegdesh, it basically is shayach l'gavoah. It's like hegdesh is mom and gavoah. A Sefer Torah, insofar as it's dedicated for the people, for the rabbim, is not owned by any individual. You know, if you had a kinyan on the etzem, on the chomer, then it would belong to so-and-so, or maybe to many people as shutfim. But here, the essence of the Sefer Torah is not the kinyan on the physicality, on the chomer, on the klaf, on the etzem, but rather it's a kinyan on the hegdesh aspect, on the fact that this Sefer Torah is designated for kedusha, for mitzvah. And in that sense, it's not privately owned. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Chulin Kuflamid Vav, that since the Torah says in the Parsha of Makeh, Vasiso Makeh L'Gagecha, Gagecha requires private ownership, so only a place that has private ownership engenders a Chiv of Makeh. In the case of a Beis Knesses, a Beis Medrash, where it's not Gagecha, it's not privately owned, there's no chiyuv of makeh, because a Beis Knesses is a classical kind of a tsura in which there's no kinyan on the chomer. No one can claim they own the physicality, you know, the boards, the bricks, the wood of the sefer, of the Beis HaKnesses, because a Beis HaKnesses is designated as a davar shel kedusha for the sake of doing kedusha, whether it's Torah, whether it's the case of Beis HaMedrash Torah, and the case of Beis HaKnesses, tefillah. So any kinyan on a Beis HaKnesses is not a kinyan be'etzem, it's not a kinyan on the chomer, and therefore there's no chiyuv makeh b'toras kinyan chomri, kinyan of gagecha. In fact, it could be that if you have a Sefer Torah in an ira nidachas, even though the ira nidachas, the Torah says that you have to destroy the entire city, but that's only shlala, meaning that which is privately owned, but Sefer Torah, mezuzah, and so forth, is not privately owned. There's no kinyan prati, because the kinyan is not in the chefetz, but in the tzura. And here at this point, the Rogachev proves that Sefer Torah does not belong to individuals. It's not some sort of partnership of the members of the community, of the city. From a Gemara Nedarim, according to the Rosh's interpretation at least, on Daf Mem Ches, and we're talking about a Mudra Hanoah, and the question is whether he's allowed to have Hanoah, if he took upon himself a neder that he won't have Hanoah from the people in the city, or any other objects, then what happens with the Sefer Torah? Is he allowed to benefit from the Sefer Torah? And the Gemara itself says that Shnayim shenodru anoze bezeh asurim bedover shel ha'osa ir kigon sfarim. The Rashi says it refers to a Sefer Torah, but the Rosh says that sfarim lilmod shekonim b'nei ir lilmod b'hem. In other words, the city and its representatives purchase books for the benefit of a library that's omed l'shusam shel bnei ha'ir. That's already a kinyan prati. That's already a shutfus, and therefore it's included in the Isser of Mudar Anoh. If I took Anoh that I want, a neder that I won't have Anoh from you, and you're a member of the city, then I can't have Anoh from the Sfarim that were written for the Bnei Ha'ir, because you own a chelek of those Sfarim. You're a partner in the Sfarim. But why did the Rosh avoid Rashi's pshat about Sefer Torah? The Rosh understood that a Sefer Torah is not owned by any individual. So I can't take a neder, mudar anoh from your object and say I can't enjoy the benefits of the Sefer Torah. You don't own the Sefer Torah. I mean, obviously there is a different kind of a Sefer Torah. There's a private Sefer Torah. But I'm talking about a Sefer Torah that's dedicated for Kriya and it's placed in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Aron. You know, the Rogachava mentions the Gemara Bava Basra Gimel Hakol Eitzel Sefer Torah Aniim Heim, and he understands that what that means by Aniim is that everyone desperately needs the Sefer Torah, like a poor person needs food, and the Sefer Torah is therefore designated for the purpose of and the use of all the people, because Hakol Aniim Heim, and that means that it's not a kinyan be'etzem in the Chomer, but rather it's a kinyan in the Tzura. And the Rogachava writes, "Bechol davar deleka kinyan etzem lo nikra shalahem." If there's no kinyan on the etzem, but rather on the toar, then that's not called lachem. V'lachem nikraim aniyim. None of us own the Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Torah is a kinyan, not be'etzem, but rather a kinyan b'toar. And whenever you don't have, in the absence of, a kinyan etzem, then that's not called shalachem. We're all aniyim. None of us own the Sefer Torah. Again, that's only with regard to a Sefer Torah Shel Rabin. If it's a Sefer Torah Shel Yochid, the Rogachev is quick to point out that's a Kinyan Be'etzem, that's on the Chomer of the Sefer Torah. And surely that's a private ownership. But when we talk about a Sefer Torah Shel Rabin, there is no private ownership, because there's no Kinyan Be'etzem. No one can claim he owns the Sefer Torah. It's owned by this abstract entity called Gavoa, like similar to Mammon Hegdish, which is called Mammon Gavoa. It doesn't belong to you, it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Gavoa, it belongs to Hegdish. And basically, the Sefer Torah is shaykh to the Tzibur, just like a Beis HaKnesses is shaykh to the Tzibur. And here we will formulate the rule that Aklalo says a Prat. You know, it's not the Prat comes first and organizes or contributes to creating a Klal at Tzibur, but it belongs to the Tzibur from the get-go. And therefore, the yechidim, the individuals, cannot claim that they have a zchus in something that is a toar and not an etzem. The Rogachava's language that's quoted here on page 58 is that a sefer Torah, according to the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Kuf Nun Aleph, is not subject to shibudim. So let's say, for example, a malva wants to collect from a lova, lochal shibud shel balchov aleim. And again, this has to do with our classical definition of a sefer Torah, which is not a kinyan aguf, but it's a different kind of a kinyan. It's a kinyan on the shame toar, and such a thing is not yours, and therefore you can't be meshubud to your balchov. He quotes a Yerushalmi in the fifth parak in Nedarim that if a man was Makadish and Isha with his Sefer Torah, Eina Mekudeshes, which means that there's no private ownership over a Sefer Torah. And the halach and kiddushin is that you have to give her something chomri that's yours, and you have full-fledged ownership. But here, if it's only a Kenyan Surah, not a Kenyan Chomer, then the kiddushin are not going to be valid. Just like we saw in the case of Shlola Shalir Anidachas, that the Sefer Torah is not called Shlola Shalir Anidachas. It's not owned by the members of the city. And at this point, I wanted to share with you a very fascinating insight of the Rogachava to a Sugya Masechta Gittin on Daf Chaf. The Gemara is addressing there the fundamental question about what constitutes, what are the conditions, the requirements for Nesinas HaGet in terms of the ownership over the get and the haknas haget to the isha. What is nesina? The Gemara quotes Rav Chizkiya that he says that I have the power of passeling almost all the gittin in the world. And Rava tries to figure out what Rav Chizkiya had in mind here to passel the gittin. Ilem mishum dechsiva kasav v'hocha ihi ka kasvale. In other words, she, the miskareshes, actually pays the wages to the sofer to write the get. That's based on a Gemara Bava Basra Kuf Samaches mishum takonis agunos, that she can do whatever she can to speed up the process and prepare the get by paying the sofer to write the get. So Rava says that can't be a problem because aknuye akni le rabbanon. In the context of this takana, they were makna the get to the husband, to the megarish, and they have the authority to do so based on the principle of hefker bezin hefker. Ella, but rather, what's Rav Chizda's problem? It's not the problem of her paying for the writing of the sofa, paying the sofa for the writing of the get, but rather mishum dechsiv nasan. V'hacha lo yoiv li, lo yoiv la midi. So it means, v'nasan bar nesina, she'e shove pruta. And the Gemara is assuming that the get itself is not a shove pruta. So the Gemara answers, no, that can't be a problem. Dilma nesinas geti. There's no inyan of shove pruta here. He's not being makna something to her when he gives her the get. It's just simply v'nasan biyada. I'll prove it to you. The Sholchum Isam, we have halacha that we received by tradition that was transmitted from Bavel to Bavel, and the halacha is Kasval Isuri Ano, like for example, Allah Shal Zayis, Shal Orla, is Kasher. Now, in the case of Isuri Ano, the Baal doesn't own the object, it's Asur Ano. And he can't be maknit in the classical sense of akna. The answer is that get, why is it kosher on isuri akna? Because get is not a requirement of akna and kinyanim, it's a requirement of nesina. And despite the fact that it's written on a leaf of arla, it still is nitvas, it lends itself to nesina, and the Baal gave it over to the isha. Says the Tzofnas Paneach, based on this sugya, that nesina is not on the actual kinyan, which he calls kamus, you know, the ownership over the guf haget, you know, the Baal owns the guf haget, and that's what he's transferring over to the isha. But rather, no, nesina is something echus. It's on the get as an entity of gerishin, not get as a chefzah shel mamon, if you will. Again, he doesn't use that language. But he's saying that if the Baal creates a get, and he gives the isha the get, that's what the Torah requires for v'nasan biyada. Of course, if that be the case, maybe akna and kinyanim are completely irrelevant. All you need is nesinah to get kosher to her hands. That seems to be a little bit problematic. Maybe we went too far. Says the Ragachava, because if a man says to a woman, Hareat Megureshes Mimeni Vanir Shali, but I retain the ownership over the physical paper on which the get was written, is lo avi get. Wait a minute, what do you mean lo avi get? According to the Ragachava, we've just presented the following principle, the following thesis, that if he gives her the get, even without akna, after all, the get was written on Isuri Hana. In all those cases, the gerishin is chal. Why? Because v'nasan biyada. And the sina there was. So what's the problem with get al isure? Get, I'm sorry, almanas shani or shali. What's the machine almanas shani or shali and the case of get on orla on isure anna? In both cases, the Baal doesn't. In both cases, the Baal doesn't do a hakna. I mean, he can't do hakna on isure anna, and there's no hakna on the get if he says ani or shali. So the Ragachava says the halacha of Anir Shali comes under a different problem. When the Baal retains ownership over the Niyar, that's Mafkia, the Chalos Nesina. You know, what constitutes Nesina? The Gemara says, you have to have a Nesina Sheyesh Ba Krisus, that completely cuts the Isha, and the Baal severs their relationship totally.
And if he says Almanash and Iyar Shali, then he's still connected to this Gerish and he can pull to get back. That's not Krisus. It's still what we call Agid Gabe. It's still tied to him. However, a Kinyan Baniyar Gufa, that he doesn't need. It's not necessary for him to have a Kinyan on the Niyar. Again, he can't retain the Niyar for himself because that's going to be Mafkia Krisus. But on the other hand, you don't need in a positive sense that he owned the get and he transferred ownership over the get through this Maisa Nesina. Kinyan Baniyar Gufa Eino Tzarech. He, the Baal, doesn't need a Kinyan on the Niyar itself, which is worth, half a sella, whatever it's worth. And the proof of that you don't need a Kinyan in the Niyar Gufa, is from Isuri Anoa, which is a kosher get. He says the following: Kosval Isuri Anoa lo shayach baze Kinyan bekamus, the Isuri Anoa lo motzi lahaknos, mikom kom avi geto get, the echus mia nosan lo. What v'nosan lo means is on the echus of the get, not on the kamus of the get, not on the Kinyan that he has on the get. Kinyan belongs to the world of kamus. But when we get into the world, when we're out of the world of Kinyonim, then we're entering into the world of Echus. So there's no requirement of Kinyon in the case of Kiddushin, and I'm sorry, in the case of Gittin. And therefore, the whole focus here and the whole requirement of the Nosan is not on the Kinyon Begufo shall get, but rather on the Tzura or the Toar or the Torah of the get. So to read the Rogachev's language, he says, Ikar Nesina, lo ratzalom al aniyar v'al adyo, rak al tzuras hadofar. In other words, the dyo is necessary to create an entity called a get. Now that get is an independent entity which has its own status, that's called a tzura. And that's what the Baal is going to give to the Isha. That's what Nesina is all about. Not on the Niyara, not on the Dio, but rather on the get itself. So when we get to the case of Isuri Anoa, even though, granted, the Baal doesn't have Kinyonim in the classical sense, on the Gufo shall get, it's also about Anoa, he doesn't have his Chus in the get, then what's Maksha, the Nesina? The answer is the Tar of the get, the Tzur of the get. That's all he has to deliver to her. He doesn't have to be makni, he doesn't have to transfer and have her acquire ownership on the get. Again, he can't retain his ownership on the get, that would be a chisaron krisus. But in the positive sense, you don't require of the Baal that he give a nesina on the chomer, with the actual kinyan on the etzem haget, and the harai is from Isuri Hanok. And that explains why Rav Chisda could not have had any problem with the fact that in some sense the get is not a Shavu Pruta, and therefore there's no Nesina. We're not interested in Shavius, in Kinyonim, in Guf, in Etzem, we're interested in Toar. The Rogachev is quick to point out that in the case of a Shtar Kiddushin, there, that's a whole different story. Shtar Kiddushin is already Chomer, it's not Tzura. And he quotes Yushalmi in the first parak of Kiddushin, if Shtar Kiddushin was written on Isuri Anoa, that's a real problem, because there's no Kinyan on Isuri Anoa, you need a Kinyan on the Chomer, on the Etzem. And the reason for that is because at this point, she's not Knuyolo. I'm sorry, you know, that Kinyan Kesef means he's giving her new Kesef. And he's transferring ownership. She's acquiring ownership in Hilchus Mammon. Now, the Rogachava goes one major step further in this discussion. And he wants to discuss the concept of Lishma. Now, when a sofer writes a get lishma, it's got to be l'shem gerushin. That's simple. That's upgrade. But he also has to write it l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'isha. And when he's writing the shemos, first the shem ha'ish, the baal, the shem ha'ish, the miskareshes, and he's writing those names lishma. Here, the Rogachev wants to know, Could it be this is a fundamental difference between the Shema Ish and the Shema Isha? Namely, as far as the Ish is concerned, there's a physical person, you know, we can identify him, that's Chomer, that's real Chomer, that's Etzem. And in order to identify the Ish, you need to write his name and his father's name and all his other names, his nicknames, and so forth and so on. That's called Chomer. But what about the Shema Isha? Here the Rogachev is not sure. Is it L'shem Chomer? You know, Isha, Zu, Leah, Bas, you know, Bas, Yehuda, whatever it might be. Or no, maybe in the case of Shema Isha, all you need is L'shem Eshes Ploni. In other words, you have to focus on the marriage relationship, not on the person so much. She is involved, she is connected to her husband with a kinyan of Ishus. And now Lishma means for the sake of breaking the Ishus. How do we identify her as the wife of so-and-so? And there are various nafkaminas. He's saying if the shame of Isha is just for the Ishus, you know, that's the kafana, then you don't necessarily have to recognize her. Maybe if the Baal says, hey, this is my wife, please write the get for her, that's sufficient. And certainly you don't need to write the name of the father of the Isha, Bas Ploni. I mean, that Ploni, that father, has nothing to do with Ishus. The Ishus is totally irrelevant to the father. I mean, the father plays no role in the Ishus. And therefore, you know, the Bas Ploni is really unnecessary in the case of Shema Isha. However, again, the distinction between Get and Shtar Kedushin, in the case of Shtar Kedushin, there the name of the Isha plays the role of Chomer, because there's no Ishus yet. You know, in the case of Gittin, there's Ishus. So you want to use the Get and break up the Ishus. So therefore, the shame could be seen as the shame of Ishus. But in the case of Kedushin, where the Shtar is being written up for the sake of creating Ishus at this point doesn't exist. So that's a different case. That's where you need the Shema Isha Befal, you know, Be'etzem, Be'kamus, not just Be'echus, and you'd have to write Bas Ploni. So in the language of the Rogachev, he says, Ikra get lishma ratzalom ratzura veha Ishus. Not the Chomer and the Metzius, but the Tzura and the Ishus. He gives an example, a simile, to the world of Kodshim, in the case of a Karban Todah that was shechted, not for the sake of this person who's bringing the Karban, but for the sake of his friend. And the Yerushalmi in the fourth parak of Gittin says, Lo plonis Hashem rak zosa isha. And he wants to suggest here that just like in Kodshim, it's Toar, and that's what the Lishma in the Shechita of Kodshim is concerned. And the Nafkamina would be that, let's say, for example, he shechts a Karban Todah l'shem Todas Chavero. That would be antithetical to the very Tzura, and the Lishma is in the Tzura. So too in Gerushin, you know, Ishus Chaver, that's undermining the whole Ishus relationship here. That's not Lishma. It undermines the Shem Torah of Ishus. Now he has a discussion about Bittul Avodah Zarah. He first begins his discussion with Bittul of a Beged Menuga. And he has arrived from a Tosefta in Maaseh Sheni that there's no such thing as bittul in the case of of beged hamenuga, and the reason for that is, he says, because bittul, when a person is mevatel something, he makes that declaration that belongs really to the world of toar, of tsura. That's bittul. Bittul is bittul atsura, bittul hatoar. But in the case of Beged HaMenuga, there the Iser is not in the Toar, I should say the Tumah is not in the Toar, but rather in the very Metzius. And if it's in the Metzius, and the Raya for that he brings is that Efer of Beged HaMenuga is Asur. And why is that? Because everything is on the mitzius. You know, you still haven't destroyed the mitzius. You still have the afer of the beged, even after you burnt it. Again, it's a different object. You could talk about a shinui toar, certainly a shinui tzura, but you can't talk about a shinui in the mitzius in the etzem. And therefore, if the tumah is in the etzem, then it doesn't lend itself to bittul. But after that discussion, that introduction, he goes on to discuss bittul of avodah zarah. And what is the purpose of bittul in avodah zarah? If it's going to be to undermine the mitzius, well, I don't know how bittul could accomplish that, but let's say if bittul could accomplish undermining the mitzius, then, well, maybe you want to say it's like Beged HaMenuga. We're in Beged HaMenuga, it's the you need the bittul HaMetzius, and bittul is not going to suffice. And therefore, logically, by analogy, there's no efficacy to bittul by Avodah Zarah, because you want to destroy the physical Avodah Zarah, the bittul of the Metzius, if you want to compare it to Beged HaMenuga. But we know from all over the place that there is bittul in Avodah Zarah, and the answer is because that bittul is not on the Metzius, but rather bittul on the Tzura, what we would call the Shema Avodah Zarah. Then the Ragachukum goes on to say that there may be two different categories or classifications of bittul with regard to Avodah Zarah. There may be a bittul of Chomer, and that would require, you know, destroying the idol, or at least partially defacing the idol, and so forth and so on. Or bittul of the Iser aspect of Avodah Zarah, meaning the Tzura of Avodah Zarah as a Toar. And that could be done when, let's say, the guy declares that I'm not interested in using this idol as an idol anymore. That is a bittul that belongs to the world of Tzura. And in Avodah Zarah, he claims there are two categories of bittul. And it's very, very sharp here. He quotes a Gemara about, you know, Abaye in a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Mem Gimel. There, the Gemara says, and the language here is very critical, Nehi demina miyayish, mi sura mi miyayish. So we're talking about a case where a person finds, let's say, Avodah Zarah in a sratya, platya gedola, in some sort of public area, makom sharab metsuyim sham, where the halach is harei elu shalo, and you want to know if the harei elu shalo would serve as a bittul for avodah zarah, meaning the fact that the baal, the owner of this avodah zarah, the guy who owns this avodah zarah, is giving up because he won't be able to find it. It's a makom sharab metsuyim sham, so giving up is called yeush. And once the akum is miyayish on his possessions, then butla daito milamiflecha. He no longer has any intention or any expectation of worshipping this idol. It's completely lost. So the Gemara wanted to suggest, if that be the case, then find his keepers, and there's no Iser Avodah Zarah, because through the agency of Yeush on the part of the Baal and the Ovid Avodah Zarah, there is bittul on the Ovid Avodah Zarah. And on that, Abai objects, and he says, Nehi demina miyayish, meaning from the Chomer, from this object as a physical object, he gave up hope, he despaired. He's never going to get it back. You know, one of the Anshei Rabbim is going to pick it up and take it. But, says Abai, mi sura mi miyayish. The Yeush is not chal vis-a-vis, it's not meaningful vis-a-vis the Iser element here of the Shema Avodah Zarah, says the Rogachava. The reason for that is because although you know, Kinyonim in the Gufa Chavetz belong to the world of Mitzius, and there's Halacha of Yeush in that world, but as far as the world of Tzura, here we're not dealing with Dine Mominus and ownership and Yeush. So the Din Isur, which is Chal by virtue of the Tzura and the Toar, well, was, you know, was there Bittul, was there not Bittul? So there'll be Yeush that's Chal vis-a-vis the Etzem Avodah Zarah, i.e. the physical reality of the Avodah Zarah. But as far as the Shema Avodah Zarah is concerned, you know, that's a Toar. and the Yeush has no relationship to that Torah because he was only Messiah by getting it back. He wasn't Messiah in terms of some sort of act of Bittul Avodah Zorah on the Tzur of Avodah Zorah. So you could have a situation, according to the Ragat Shava, based on Abaye, in which there are two dinim. There's one din that belongs to the realm or the world of Kinyonim, and there's another din that belongs to the world of Isurim. In the world of Kinyonim, Yeush is enough to remove the ownership of the Bailim from this Avodah Zorah. So that's Kinyonim and Yeush on Etzem, fine. But as far as Bittul on the Tzura, which in Abai's language is Misura Mimiyayish, for that we don't have a kavan on his part to be Mavatil the Avodah Zorah and say, oh, it's no longer my God. It's just an object, you know, of a value. No, that his Yeush doesn't. He only gave up on getting it back, but he didn't give up on the Avodah Zorah aspect of it, on the Isur aspect. So again, we see that there are two categories of Bittul with regard to Avodah Zorah. A real Tzvei Dinin. The Ragat Shavuah goes on to wonder whether or not you could be mekayim the mitzvah of Ibud Avodah Zorah, which again in Eretz Yisrael that means to seek and find and destroy, search and find and destroy. In Chutzlatz you don't have to run around searching, but if you find an Avodah Zorah coming your way, you got to get rid of it. In any event, he wants to know, with regard to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah commands us, Perek Aleph, Milchas Avodah Zorah in the Rambam, with a special mitzvah to be Ma'abed Avodah Zorah, to destroy, seek and search Avodah Zorah and destroy it. And the question is, can he fulfill that mitzvah through Bittul? Does he have to run around, get the object, pay for it, make a bonfire? Or would it be enough if he would simply... if he would simply be mevatel it, being mevatel the Avodah Zorah is also a form of ibud. Or do we say no? The mitzvah of ibud is on the mitzias and the etzem, the very chomer of the Avodah Zorah, but not on the toar. And even though he's willing to be mevatel the Avodah Zorah in Eretz Yisrael, that's fine, and that bittul will certainly operate to change the tzura, but as far as the violation, as far as the mitzvah, excuse me, of ibud avodah zorah in Eretz Yisrael, for that you need a physical destruction. You need be'etzem u'bechomer, and the Ragat Shavuah, to our surprise, comes to the conclusion that no, based on a Yerushalmi in the fourth perek. Of Avodah Zorah and a Bavli on Daf Nun Gimel, he comes to the conclusion that by being Mevatel the Avodah Zorah, there's also a Kiyum at the same time of Mitzvahs Ibud Avodah Zorah. His surprising conclusion is that Bittul of Avodah Zorah, even though it doesn't change anything in the physical universe, is also a Kiyum of Ibud. Even though he's only destroying the Torah of Avodah Zorah when he declares his Bittul. In any event, the premise of the Ragat Shavuah throughout is that there's no bailus on Toar, for example, in the case of Avodah Zorah. And he goes on to say that if there's no bailus on Avodah Zorah, because we're dealing with Toar, then if, let's say, somebody were to be Mevatel, the Avodah Zorah of another person, let's say John is Mevatel, you know, Jim's, you know, two guys Mevatel Jim's, Avodah Zorah, and he says, no, it's not, it has no power, this, that, the other thing, that declaration might be meaningful. Why? Because there is no personal ownership on the Toar. And if Bittul is Chal, according to the Ragat Shavuah, on the Toar, not on the Kinyan and the Chomer, then it could work for the Avodah Zorah of another person. And finally, just to round things off, he's got a whole discussion about Bittul and Chametz. And how does that Bittul operate? You know, are we dealing with Bittul on the level of Metzius, of Etzem? It's very hard to imagine that. More likely, the Bittul is on the Toar, on the Tzura. But he says that, you know, how to define Bittul and how it works. is it part of Tashbis or is it not, should really depend upon a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And that machlokus is, I believe, if I remember correctly, Pesachim Daf Lamed, but we're right in that vicinity. That machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon revolves around the case of Chometz Li'achar HaPesach. So we know that there's an Iser Hana on Chometz Lachar Pesach, according to Rav Shimon. Wait, just let me see if I got that right.
Yeah, here I found the sugya in Pesachim. It's on Daf Chaf Ches, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chometz Li'achar Zmano Shavuot of Pesach is over Belav. And then we turn to Chaf Ches Amid Beis. And the Gemara quotes Rav Shimon, who says that Li'achar Zmano Eino over a love below Klum. Says the Rogachov, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the Iser Chometz is Chal on the Etzem, on the Chomer itself. And nothing changes Li'achar Zmano, and therefore the Iser continues even after Pesach. Masha'enken, according to Rav Shimon, the Iser of Chometz is Chal on the Torah of Chometz, and after the Zmano, there's no Torah of Chometz. Beautiful pshat. I'm very, very excited about this. So again, is the Iser Chometz Chal on the Etzem, on the Metzius, and then it's not Paka Liachar Pesach, or it's Chal on the Torah, and then it's Paka Liachar Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the Iser is Chal on the physical Tzura, call it the Etzem, and therefore Chometz is also even after Pesach. And the Rogachov wants to suggest that maybe we could explain based on this a different machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, the mitzvah of Tashbisa will require a total annihilation, a mitzvah of Sreifa, because he's attacking the Etzem, and the only way of getting rid of the Etzem is through Sreifa. Rav Shimon might have a broader definition of Hashbasa because he's not focused on the Etzem, but rather on the Torah. And here he quotes a Sifra, Torah's Konim, in Parshas Bechukosai. The Pasuk says in Vayikra Chavav, Pasuk Vav, Chavav Vav, describing, you know, the Akras Hayom and Vishbati Chaya Ram in Aretz. Again, the word Ishbati, like the word of Hashbasa. And the Sifra quotes a machlokus here again between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ma'aviram Min Ha'olam. Min ha'olam, which means that there won't be any of these chayos ra'os at all in the world. So you need a total annihilation in order to achieve hashbasa. And that's Rabbi Yehuda and Chometz also. You need a total annihilation. We're attacking the chaya ra' as a physical entity in Chomer. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says, mashbisan shelo yizoku, that these animals will no longer attack us. In other words, we're interested in the toar of the animal. Is it an animal that's raw? Is it not? I don't care if the animal exists, as long as its toar changes. Rabbi Yehuda is putting the emphasis in the definition of Hashbasa in the context of Kamus, whereas Rabbi Shimon is talking about the Echus. And the Echus of this Chaya raw is the raw, and if you get rid of that raw and it's not Mazik anymore, that's Hashbasa. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon will be willing to say that Hashbasa could be removed all the Yisurim of Chometz, so like Bal Yoroh Bayimotze, even if it's Bittel, because Bittel is also a destruction of the Echus, of the Toar and the Tzura. Masha'enken, Rabbi Yehuda requires that we undermine the physical Etzem of the Chometz, is Ein Bir Chometz, Ein Hashbasa Ela Bir Sreifa. And he writes, "V'hine gdolei amachabrim donu gabe hashposas chometz mi'erev chometz b'matzah b'yofen shenis batel o mekayim ha'esi d'tashbisu kevan de'etzem eino mushpas min ha'olam v'rak ha'torah shel ha'chometz." I'm sorry, did I correct myself? Did I say me'erev? I didn't mean me'erev, I mean ma'arev. I'm sorry. He says, so he wants to know if he's ma'arev chometz b'matzah, in such a way the chometz is bottle, is that a kiyum of hashbasa? And the answer is, it depends. If tashpisu means chomer, then the chomer of the chometz still exists. If on the other hand, the tashbisu is on, attacking the etzem, undermining and nullifying the etzem, then through bittel, I'm sorry, etzem, I misuse the word etzem again. I apologize. If the objective of tashbisu is to undermine the Torah of chametz, then bittel will work when the chametz is bottle in the matzah, in the rov matzah. If on the other hand we want to get rid of the etzem, like Rabbi Yehuda's shita, then the etzem still exists, albeit in a tarovis. I don't recognize it. I can't point to it, but it still exists. The bittel cannot undermine that. And it's interesting, if you look in the Malbim on this sifra in Vayikra Chavav, he says that Rabbi Yehuda asks the following question: Ech Omar Po Loshen Vishbati? How can the Torah says Hishbati? I've destroyed. If those species of attacking animals still exist in the world, so what does viyashpis mean? Then the word hashpasa is justified. But Reb Shimon, he says, no, lo nira lo sheyashpis haminim. Hashpasa is not on the min. But rather he says, shalo yumazik, and he says, umefaresh, Reb Shimon understands, sheyipo loshan hashpasa al bitol ahezek, va'eres, who hefsek tivam ara. Tivam is the tzura in the Rogan Shavas language. So just remove the tzura, and the toar of being tivam ra, and then you've accomplished your goal. That's called hashbasa. That's Reb Shimon. Okay, Rabosai, we'll take a break now. I wanted to mention also the Rogan Shavas discussion here about a machlokas ram and raivit in chometz umatzah perek peis chometz bebar. It means ef shalaloso min abar. There's no way of getting the chometz out. It's inaccessible. Is it considered kimavuar? On the perspective of chomer, we would say it's not mavur, but maybe as far as tzura is concerned, in other words, to have access and to benefit from the chometz is impossible, so therefore it's a beer on the level of tzura. And then he goes on to a discussion here about chometz shel truma, and so forth and so on. He has also a discussion here about chametz, if it's an Issa Cheftos, an Issa Gavra, and that's something that Bli Nether we'd like to take up in a different discussion with regard to other concepts. Okay, that's where we're going to call it for today, and I think we made a lot of progress here on understanding the mind of the Rogatchover and his Derech HaLimud.